I wanted to talk to you because you're one of the few who's been to all four summits, is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so what keeps you coming back?
Well, as deacons, we do need the encouragement, and I find it very edifying and very equipping for us as deacons.
Welcome to the Reformed Deacon, a casual conversation with topics specifically designed to help local Reformed deacons. There are nearly 1,000 deacons in the OPC alone, so let's take this opportunity to learn from and encourage one another. We're so glad you could join us. Let's jump into our next episode of the Reformed Deacon.
I'm Tim Hopper. I'm a deacon at Shiloh Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'm a member of the Committee on Diaconal Ministries, and I'm coming to you from the OPC National Diaconal Summit that's held this year at Wheaton College. This is the fourth national summit that the OPC Committee on Diaconal Ministries has had. It started back in 2010. We wanted today to give you a little taste of what the summit is like by sharing some interviews with brothers who have been here with us. And you'll learn it's not just about 3 days of lectures. It's about fellowship, networking, and making connections and seeing how the OPC Diaconate is more than just a local church. It's a bigger group and gives us advantages of experiences, knowledge, and strength, and getting to know one another. I first attended the summit in, I think, 2017, and it was a blessing to me, and it helped me grow, and especially I enjoyed getting to know the brothers from my own presbytery. It was a sweet time of fellowship. And I hope you enjoy hearing these interviews, and hope you'll consider attending the next summit of the OPC Diaconal Committee. Well, you're all from the same church, Reformation OPC in Morgantown, West Virginia.
I'm Bob Nischel.
Dylan Sheldon.
Zach Hilligus.
Dan Powell, the second.
You guys are four deacons in training all here together. Do you have deacons actively at your church right now? Or?
We do not.
Okay. So are you on ongoing, is there active training program right now?
There is, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Good. In typical OPC fashion, I think we're on month number 6, and we're only through chapter 19 of the Confessions, so we still have probably a year, maybe 3.
We're doing training again at Shiloh, and we're in a similar spot. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that is very typical.
And no others are plodding through with us.
Maybe tell me, you know, how long you've been at Reformation.
I've been there since 2014. So what is that, 8 years now, something like that?
I've been at Reformation for about 4 years.
And I've been at Reformation for about 3 years.
31 years.
31 years, very good. How long has that church been around, actually?
82?
I think that sounds right, yes.
It's as old as I am, yeah. So.
I grew up in West Virginia, and I never heard of the OPC until I went to college in Pennsylvania.
So Reformation is the only,
yeah,
only the church. Now we're looking to plant something south of Morgantown, but...
Good. Yeah. Very good. But obviously, this is your first summit for all of you. What are you maybe you guys hoping to take away from the summit, or what brought you here?
I think just trying to grow in my capacity, I think, to sort of see what exactly this office is all about in the OPC. You know, I have some preconceptions from other denominations and things of that nature. So learning about what it is in the OPC, and then just sort of learning about, I think, a little bit better. Maybe what are the requirements for being a deacon, and you know, how I can be thinking about that as I think about, you know, possibly taking on the office myself, and also, you know, just thinking about as a Christian man, you know, how do you be a good leader, how do you serve others, which is, you know, I tend to be someone who like wants to take charge, wants to do things my own way, and sort of having to think through things from other people's perspective is something that I really think I should work on, I guess. So.
I think what
Bob's... Zach has to say something new. Say something new, Zach.
Well, something that I was looking forward to this conference is just meeting the different people with different deacons and deacons in training within the OPC. Just a few minutes ago, talked to a guy who's 70 years old at Green Bay, Wisconsin, and talking about how they have pizza night at a local high school, or giving out gas cards at the first, you know, someone has a need or something like that, and then digging in after that. So I'm appreciative for for learning about that. And I think what Bob said is just, yeah, learning, yeah, what it means to be a deacon, and how, if we are called and confirmed and all that stuff, how we can serve well and for and long lasting. So
are you guys aware of within your presbytery, are you your Presbytery of Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The misnamed Presbytery of Ohio. Western Pennsylvania, Ohio,
well, most, like that, yeah.
West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of the diaconal things happening at your presbytery level, or interaction between the deacons at all?
Not really, I don't think.
No. Yeah.
No. One of the neat things about the summit, which you guys haven't experienced yet since it's the first night, but at the meals we encourage the presbytery men from the different presbyteries to sit together. It's an opportunity to get to know guys from your presbytery, which is, you know, our elders, pastors get to go to presbytery meetings and they get to know each other and like or dislike each other. But there's often not as many opportunities for deacons. That's been something for me that's been very eye-opening in the last few years through the summit and activities in our presbytery. This is how valuable that is to get to know. And so hopefully you guys will get to
enjoying that fellowship is really great. I've had the opportunity to go to presbytery a few times, GEI once, and just having that fellowship amongst different men within the churches is very fun.
Have you guys had, so you don't have any active deacons right now, your church, have you had deacons that you've learned from in your time there, or is it starting a little bit fresh here?
I've been there, 8 years. There were active deacons when I arrived, and I think, but they might have been even on sabbatical at that time. So, yeah, I mean, there really have not been a lot of opportunities at all to learn, and I guess one of the elders, Dan Sr., was a deacon.
Then
became an
elder. So.
Yeah. But we don't see it a lot. I think
we haven't had any of the workshops yet. But are there any workshops that you're looking forward to? Yeah, you can check your list there. What workshops you're signed up for?
I am interested in number one. Minute, no. Yeah, I think all of them sound good. You know, I think the Ministries to the Stranger one sounds particularly interesting, simply because I think it's a really precarious situation when you're ministering. You know, like I remember in the RP church I was in, somebody came to the church and there was nobody else there, I think, at the time, and I just took someone to the grocery store and I bought him a gift card. And, you know, and I was talking to the deacons afterwards and I said what I'd done, and they were like, well, yeah, you know, people tend to hawk those off afterwards and get cash for them and then go buy drugs. And so, you know, anyway, just walking that, trying to figure out, you know, how, and maybe that's not what the session is about. And if so, please edit out everything I've just said. But anyway, just trying to figure out how to, you know, getting answers to practical questions like that.
Any other workshops you guys are looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, how do they phrase it, the doing business as a deacon. So I've gone into my father's line of business as a CPA, and we work with lots of businesses, so I'm curious to see how that might be applicable or change how I'm doing my work, or whether that's helping others in their work. So I'm curious to see what that's like and what that's about.
Yeah, Chris Sudlow's teaching that. He's a member of the Committee on Diaconal Ministries, and he's been a deacon for long, long time, 30 years or so, and I think that'll be very excellent.
You have the unspeakable privilege to show the Father's mercy to people who you do not know. At least you don't know them yet. The context in which you might meet strangers may be the place where you worship. Someone arrives at church on a Sunday or to the offices during the week and make a request. You've all heard them. The rent is due and I have no money. I haven't eaten in 2 days. Can the church help me? Congregations, sessions, diaconates, missionaries need to develop ways of approaching these opportunities. What do? Do you give money? Gift cards? Do you meet for lunch? Do you meet at a gas station? Fill up the tank? See the encounter as an opportunity to serve not a nuisance to avoid. Now, so a man walks in, or a woman. He's a stranger. But you know, there are many things you already know about him before he says one word. He is God's creation. He bears God's image. He has value and therefore is worth knowing. He has a story and he has honored you by making a request. Let generosity prevail over caution. I came to change my thinking on this over the time I spent in Uganda. But it's certainly not good to be stingy. Is God stingy? God gave his son. His son gave his life. Talk about generosity. Remember that the person will live forever with Christ's favor upon him or under Christ's judgment. They are the only two possibilities for his everlasting existence. Give him the good thing, but do not forget to give him the best thing. You have Jesus. Be sure you give Jesus to him as you are able. He is Jesus to you. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. You be Jesus to him.
Talking to Thomas Wood, who's a deacon in training for Christ Covenant OPC in Amarillo, Texas. Thomas, welcome to the Diaconal Summit.
Thank you.
How's your experience been so far?
It's been amazing. Truly an eye-opening experience to the OPC's commitment to diaconal ministries, care for its officers, and just a testament to Presbyterianism in general.
Cool. Are there things you've particularly learned so far or that you're looking forward to learning?
I just came out of David's meeting on the denominational level of diaconal ministry, and it's truly wonderful to see the resources available to our officers, to our deacons, and just the scope of capability that we have in terms of caring for our members and for those in our faith.
That's great. Have you ever listened to the Reformed Deacon podcast?
No, I didn't even know it existed until yesterday, so looking forward to it when I get back home.
Check it out.
Yeah.
It's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his name.
Especially think of some of the major league commands that Christ gives to us. When he says not just to show mercy, but show mercy to one another as I have shown you mercy. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you in Christ. And then the big one, love one another as I have loved you. Who's sufficient for those things? What kind of mere community is capable of that level of devotion and spiritual things? Not the Elks Club, not Kiwanis. Only those empowered by the Holy Spirit and God's grace can embody this level of virtue that Christ requires of his church. Christian service calls for spiritual power and wisdom that, brothers, are beyond our natural abilities. And this service demands the work of the Spirit so that the good deeds will be pursued with the right motives and for the right ends, to truly encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ and do this all for the glory of God.
He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is saved.
I'm here with Luke Fawcett and Nathan Brinkerhoff from Resurrection OPC in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, guys. How long have you guys served as deacons?
Tim, I would be... I've got 12 years under my belt.
Okay.
Was ordained in 2010, and this will be my third summit.
Oh, great. Yeah. 3 out of 4?
Yep.
How about you, Nathan?
I have about 4 years as a deacon, and this is my first one.
We've got a lot of guys here who are in training or newer deacons. Are there ways that you think this is beneficial to be at the summit, even having been a deacon for a while?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my third summit, 12 years experience. I feel like, I don't know if you've ever had octopus, but the prep that goes into it, like bashing it on the rocks for hours to get it tender enough to eat, I think that's kind of where my brain is right now. in a good way.
Is there a metaphor about the summit still moving while you eat it? I don't know.
But it's been just amazing. The content, the conviction, the encouragement. Everybody seems engaged and super well organized. I think it's been an amazing experience so far.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
Overwhelming with the amount of good information, so much so that I can't absorb it all at once. I'm going to have to go back and think it through. I think Luke said this morning after the first session, he said steak for breakfast. It's good, but well, man, that's not what I usually have for breakfast. And the whole thing has been kind of like that. It's been very good.
I like your metaphor better than the octopus. Yeah, well, that's kind of how I'm feeling.
Have any sessions been particularly beneficial for you guys, or topics you're wanting to especially digest?
Craig Troxler this morning was excellent in helping me understand some things that I've been hearing and kind of moving some pieces of the puzzle together in conversations I've had with other people about community and what's missing in that conversation and with those people that we, by God's grace, have. And that was encouraging. The one on disabilities
Pastor Tracy.
Yeah. That was an eye-opener.
Yeah, and that was wonderful to get that perspective.
Very good.
Reinforce, I think, for so many churches, a missing piece that we can all spend a lot more time on.
A blind spot, I think you might say. That he said it best, and he said, you ask a pastor, do you have any disabled people in your congregation? And they'll pause. He said, that's telling. And I would too. Not a pastor, I would do the same thing. And then you would probably say, well, no, not really. Because you're thinking of a certain category, and the reality is, once you start digging, you do.
Do you guys have any advice for people who haven't come to a summit yet and maybe on the fence about coming in next time around?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the videos, if you get the playbacks, if you can get that same, you know, it'll be different. But I'm hoping... I know that content's going to be super beneficial and distributed, and hopefully that catches on. If they haven't been to one, you got to do it.
And there's one thing you can't experience by watching the videos, and that is the singing.
Yeah.
If you're not ready for it, it will almost take you by surprise. It is wonderful. Is that good?
I wonder if diaconates or even with their elders should try to cut out some time and watch some of these sessions together. I think if you're by yourself, it's easy to get distracted, but just sit together and watch a session. And
it's not a bad idea.
It. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys listened to the Reformed Deacon podcast?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
I have not. I'll confess. But now that I'm going to wear late. A T-shirt with it emblazoned on it, I will be sure to listen to it.
Very good. Thank you for your time, guys. Sorry I made you. We're going to be in the back of the dinner line now. But,
thank you, Tim. It's okay.
And deaconing is doing what you read in Isaiah 40 in this picturesque language. It's the lifting up of valleys that takes time. It's mountains and hills that are made low with a lot of work. It's crooked things that are made straight. And that's not done by lordly masters. It's done by humble servants.
Introduce yourself and tell me where you serve.
My name is Daniel Lascaz, and I worship at Amoskeg Presbyterian Church in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I've been serving there as a deacon since 2004. I became a member in 2000. I started visiting there in 1998.
And I wanted to talk to you because you're one of the few who's been to all four summits, is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, yes. So what keeps you coming back? Did you not hear it all the first time? Or?
Well, as deacons, we do need the encouragement, and I find it very edifying and very equipping for us as deacons to be able to get out from time to time and to get together with other deacons, as well as the rich spiritual training, education, equipping,
yeah.
and the fellowship. And we learn, we get corrected. Of course, there's so much that you don't grasp it, neither the first time or implement them. It's a lot lifelong with what takes place. If you've been to one, I think that you will want to continue to come.
Yeah.
They don't happen every year, so it's good. They happen like every 3 or 4 years, so that gives you time to take in some of what you've learned, seek to implement them, and then come again, because, you know, in the process, when you get a bit tired or weary, it's good to come away and be refreshed in the Lord and with fellow deacon brothers, as well as the pastors and the elders that are here to hear the experiences of and to see the similarity in our service, even though no matter what part of the country we're from, that we have similar approach as well as experience in meeting the needs both of the congregations outside the church community.
Yeah, that's very helpful. I've been thankful this time to that there have been things that have challenged me and you know, potentially are corrections, things I need to go home and reflect on. And
yes.
it's good to not just come here and have be patted on the back and say, oh, you're doing it exactly right. But I feel like I've learned things. And
yes, that is correct. Because even in one of the sessions today, I became very convicted, because as a deacon, endeavoring to discern, and sometimes we can overstep that. So you got to guard against a critical spirit. So we can become critical of people on the outside thinking they're there to do a sin. But erring on the side of mercy.
Yeah.
So I need to do some business in that area myself.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you're right. It's not just being patted on the back, but the Word of God bringing that conviction and correction and instruction.
Yeah. Are there any things you would like to see in future summits, or maybe even things from earlier ones that you'd like to bring back that we haven't been able to do this time, or topics that would be particularly useful to your diaconate?
At this time, there's so much that I need to take away what's all of that there before I even can see beyond that. But it's very rich, and I would encourage any of my deacon brothers who are contemplating whether they should come or not, any opportunity you have, I would certainly encourage them to come out and partake of this. It only helps equip and to edify you into your work, into your
Amen.
Service for the Lord.
Yeah, very good. All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The account of the Good Samaritan illustrates we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus said, go and do likewise. But I've become convinced meditating on the scripture, but that's not where the account ends. Go and do likewise. It ends with Mary and Martha. The account with Martha illustrates that in all your serving, being a good Samaritan must be out of love for Christ first. All things must be done for him, through him, and by him, and out of love for him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. See, the incident with Martha and Mary illustrates that we're to love the Lord with all of our heart as the reason why we are to love our neighbor.
You guys tell me your names and where you're from.
Art Allen, Raleigh, North Carolina.
And I'm Andy Lonham from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Are you guys deacons?
I am.
I am not.
It's the first time at your summit, or have you been before?
I have not been before. It's the first time.
First time here as well.
What are you hoping to gain from the summit?
Listening to some good teaching and meeting some fellow deacons, getting encouragement and knowledge from that.
I guess one thing I wanted to get from this summit was couple things. One, a greater understanding of the work the diaconate performs, and then just get to know several other deacons other than ones that are around where I'm at.
Do you have any takeaways from the first talk tonight from Pastor Bill Shishko?
Yes, I thought it was very, very good throughout, but especially in the beginning where he talked about the need for strong men and men who are leaders in the church and in society. That's one of our biggest problems in our society is the weakness of men.
How about you, Andy? Did you have any takeaways from Pastor Shishko?
I guess my biggest takeaway would be just the need for strong leadership. You can see in the states right now just a lack of leadership all the way up throughout the states. And that's one place where really the church can be a light, show what a true man is.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Can you tell me your name and where you're from?
Yeah, my name is Jose Vasquez. I'm from Puerto Rico, from the Guayama Sola Escritura OPC Church.
Very good. Are you the only one who's come from Puerto Rico this time? Or?
I think this time, yes.
Good. Are you a deacon there?
Nah, I'm supposed to be a deacon in training.
In training,
yeah,
good.
First time here.
Wonderful. Are you in an active, ongoing training program right now at your church, or what?
Well, we are starting the process, I think,
okay,
with my pastor.
And,
he pushed me a little bit to be here.
Very good.
So I think it's God moving me a little bit to be more of a working with the church. So let's see how it goes.
How long have you been at the church there?
A year and a half.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Do y'all have deacons currently at the congregation?
No. It's a church plant. I think we're in the process of formalizing to become a church.
Okay.
So
who's the pastor at your congregation?
Randy Lopez.
Okay, right. Yeah, I know his name.
You know him?
I haven't met him, but I'm
nice guy. Nice guy.
Yeah, he's a neat guy.
Yeah.
You have are there three congregations in Puerto Rico now?
Yeah, I think four more congregations. There's two in San Juan, our church plant.
Okay.
And I get two missions, I think, in Arecibo and Lares and San Sebastian.
Okay, very good. Do you have you been in church for a long time or?
Well, yeah, I was born. I was raised in a Mennonite church in Puerto Rico.
Mennonite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I began congregating in an independent Baptist church.
Okay.
And the last 2 years I've been in the OPC.
Did you have deacons in your previous congregations or?
Yeah, I was talking to some of the brothers here. We had deacons, but I've never seen a good biblical deacon.
Okay.
So I don't know what's a good deacon in terms of what the Bible teaches. So today's conference was excellent. The first time I've heard of someone speaking of deacons as that being like Christ, the greatest example or model for a deacon. So first time.
Yeah. Wow. That's neat. That's good to hear. I've been in a deacon now in the OPC for 7 years, and I'm thankful to say that that's something that comes up a lot as looking to Christ as the great deacon. And as Pastor Shishko said, Christ, you know, Christ came not to be served but to serve.
Yeah, I've heard that, obviously, but not in the context of a deacon.
Right.
So it was great. Yeah. And I've heard the podcast, the Reform podcast.
Okay, very good.
Deacon podcast, yeah. Heard it. It encouraged me to be here also.
Do you know if any of the other congregations in Puerto Rico have deacons?
I imagine that, yeah. Both churches in San Juan, they have the elders and deacons, yeah.
I think we, both because of the language barrier and the water barrier, we often just feel Puerto Rico just seems a different place for those of us on the continent. So it's good to hear about those congregations. And
I know that my pastor, Brandy, he makes a great effort for us to not be so far away.
Yeah.
So he has invited us to be on some presbytery meetings and be close to the OPC. I try to be closer by reading the OPC website, hearing out the Reform Deacon podcast. So,
good.
So it's good. It's great resources there.
Yeah. Also, at least some of the old summits that we've had, this is the fourth summit, some of the previous ones are, the recordings are available on opccdm.org if you want to check those out. A video or audio, maybe, but some good material there.
Excellent. It's good to know.
Do you have other deacons in training right now, or are you the...
Well, from my church, I think I'm the first time on the
way. Good. We'll pray that's fruitful, and
thank you.
Pray that you have a deacon soon, and that you can be particular as soon.
Yeah.
It's great to meet you.
Yeah.
Can you tell me your name and where you serve as a deacon?
My name's Leo Barkley. I serve the deacon in Raleigh, North Carolina at Shiloh Presbyterian Church.
You went to a workshop session this morning that you really enjoyed. Can you tell me about that workshop?
Really enjoyed the session with David Nakla. It was about the structure of diaconal ministries at the Presbyterian level. I thought it was very, very helpful, especially for newer deacons that aren't as familiar with the different structures of how we have Presbytery diaconal committees, as well as overall denominational diaconal committees, the CDM, and just how they're able to aid those who need assistance and also organize and assist other churches, church plants, churches with just single deacons.
What would you say to someone who didn't come to the summit or has never been to a summit and is maybe on the fence about attending in the future? What would be your advice?
I thought it was very, very beneficial. I would highly recommend either watching the recording or coming next time to interact and learn more about the Presbytery diaconal work.
Very good. Thank you.
As deacons in the local church, you're on the front lines. I like to say that despite diaconal ministries being in the name of the Committee on Diaconal Ministries, it's rarely done. The diaconal ministries is rarely what we do. Rather, diaconal ministries is predominantly carried out by local deacons who are in the trenches, boots on the ground, face to face. It's hugely personal. It's hugely specific to one person. And yet, a deacon is not alone in the service he carries out. He's backed up by the whole army that he serves. Yes, the army of God. And even as we learn just in this last hour, the importance of prayer and how you are fueled for your ministry through our relationship vertically fuels our relationship horizontally.
Now the alone I seek, give what is best.
Now, one of the things I really appreciate about a conference like this is that we're not just talking about in the abstract how to do justice, mercy, walk humbly with our God. We're talking about how the church does justice, mercy, and walks humbly with our God.
There's really so much that we could talk about in terms of ministering to and with people with disabilities. It's very important that we add the little phrase "and with," because to minister to is perhaps a starting point, and it's perhaps a starting point that your church hasn't even reached at this point in time, but ministering with is where we want to be operating, so that people with disabilities are indeed ministering with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are indeed practicing what we were hearing this morning, the communion of saints.
And so, when you consider matters, you already have the supernatural gifting and enabling in your life. Now, can we learn from one another? Absolutely. But we start there. We don't start with the policies and procedures. The policies and procedures are practical outworkings of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life and the wisdom that He has given us.
if those refugees, asylum seekers, are going to come to know Christ. We don't know. Pray for that. We don't know if they'll become members in your church or not. Pray for it. But they're going to be seeing your good works and give glory to the Father. And if you don't take anything else away from this workshop, please take this away. We think that our work is really to bless that person usually, whether it be another member in the congregation or a stranger in your neighborhood. At least that's the way I think. This is a blessing for them. And in reality, the greater blessing is for you and for the members of your congregation. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. My encouragement for you to pursue refugee ministry is really for your congregation's benefit.
So what we need to do, the what of deacons' preparation for disaster response, is to know who is most vulnerable in your worship. Who is most vulnerable to worship disruption in your church? You can think of them right now. So take time, think about your congregations, who might fit these qualifiers.
Think about some of our management strategies today in the diaconate. And I'm talking comprehensively. You know, we have a lot of different things that we do. On the one hand, we could be going to church early on a Sunday morning to set up chairs. And then we're switching gears to help somebody with a car issue or to help that person who came to church that you've never seen before who needs assistance, right? So how do we manage this?
The son could do nothing on his own. The son could do nothing of his own initiative, literally from himself. The son is always submissive to his father. Not only does the son always do what pleases the father, but he can only do what he sees his father doing. The father initiates, sends, commands, commissions, and grants. The son responds, obeys, performs his father's will, receives authority. He is the father's agent, but much more than that. And you see the unity of the father and the son. And the father showing the son all that he does. He doesn't hold anything back from the son. And the son sees it all. And what does he do when he comes? He says everything the father says. He does everything the father does. In perfect unity. So that's a unity of purpose. We ought to have that as deacons.
When you can get somebody to the point of believing the Bible is true, there's a lot of work that you can do with that. And that's often our starting point in Neon, is trying to get them to understand this is God's word. And once somebody really believes that, you can get them to think differently about their past, their upbringing, the way their family has been taught them and different things. So we believe the Bible is true.
Is he the parting cry? My heart shall raise.
Pastor Zischko wants you to never say, I'm just a deacon. I agree. Because I hope if anything has been obvious this weekend is that the Communion and Diaconal Ministries and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church as a whole has a very high view of the office of deacon. The church doesn't look like Jesus without the ministry of mercy and without the office of the diaconate. Don't ever say, I'm just a deacon. Have a higher view of your own office than that. But feel free to say, along with your elders and ministers, we're just servants. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. The deacon is not greater than his master. Remember how much thankless service our Lord's earthly ministry entailed. You're never quite so Christ-like as when you persevere in thankless service.
This is precious.
Thanks for joining us. Go to our website, thereformeddeacon.org. There you will find all our episodes, program notes, and other helpful resources. And please make plans to join us again next month for another episode of the Reformed Deacon Podcast.
About taking up competitive strongman?
I might. I don't want to show you up, though.
Odd People Church, yeah.
There you go.
Now, maybe I can ask you a question. So when I signed up for this thing, there was a ticker at the top that went from 0 to 1,000 telling me how many deacons had signed up for this conference, okay? And when I signed up, there were like 200 people. And when I did that, all the sessions, or half the sessions, were full. So, what gives? I'm just kidding.
But seriously.
Yeah.
Fair question.
Okay. Well, anyway, just...
We would love to have a summit with 1,000 deacons.
Okay.
You don't want to have the room space for all those people.
Well, there's never been a demand for 1,000 seats, so we kind of have to plan the workshops accordingly. But. Lord willing, all the workshops will be recorded, video, audio, and we'll have those posted on the website. Also, past summit plenary addresses are on our website as well, bccd.org. So you guys, there's a lot of good resources there. That's, I think, particularly as deacons in training, if you guys haven't checked that out, good resources on our CDM website. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
This is for a podcast.